Okay, I think we've got everything loaded up on the system, so we'll go ahead and regroup and get started. Our third presentation for session five is titled Protect Your Leg Pockets, Protect Yourself and Your Pockets. Our presenter is Adam Lyman. He's an MRO marketing application engineer supporting the mining industry and general MRO applications across the United States. He has over 6 years of experience as a technical adhesives expert. Adam supports customers and sales representatives through technical training, on-site application qualifications, and generating technical market data through lab projects. Adam earned his Bachelor of Science degree in Mechanical Engineering from the University of Connecticut in 2009. Please welcome Adam Lyman.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Today I'm going to go over an application that Henkel developed a solution for in terms of a problem application that is found commonly in longwall mining. So I'm going to walk through the background of the current problem and go through what's the current solutions and then also what Henkel developed as a solution to that problem. The objectives I want to go over today are understanding the risks associated with the dust, debris, and tooling filling up the leg pockets, understanding the time and cost associated with repetitive maintenance and current solution, and then learn the key benefits of the cure and place sealing system for the leg lift pockets for safety, time, and cost. So how many of you have seen this problem before? Raise your hands. Right, so Henkel worked with a couple of our customers to identify this as a major downtime issue, as well as a safety issue. Typically in the longwall mining process, the pockets at the bottom of the lift leg are gonna fill up with debris, tooling, whatever else is going on down there. And if they're not protected, can over time wear a hole into that hydraulic leg or restrict movement in that leg, leading to damage, catastrophic failure, or downtime, unexpected downtime, which also translates to high cost. Some of our customers have told us that cleaning the pockets can take up to 8 hours, 8 man-hours per pocket. Typical maintenance is done on these in this area for about 6 hours a day. And right now, the solutions that exist, you know, may or may not work. And if they don't work, we've heard that customers can be fined for not having a protection in place. So the current solution right now that's commonly out there is a pre-molded insert. How many of you have seen that before? So fairly common. What's good about them is that they actually fit to the equipment. They're usually molded for that exact specific model and type of equipment. And then they're easy to put in place. You just push them in. And then some of those suppliers actually make them so that they're flexible and they don't take a compression set. What we've seen at these customers is that, first of all, those pre-molded inserts can take a long time to acquire. Usually they have to be molded and the quantity has to be ordered well in advance, and then they need to be shipped to your location. Also, since they're already pre-molded, they're taking up a large amount of real estate in storage or even just in transporting them down into the mine. Also, if you don't have the right size, it's not going to fit in that pocket. It's going to slide right out, or it's not going to nicely seat into that pocket. Additionally, to do it underground, the pocket must be completely clean. Otherwise, it's going to tend to pop out, and it's going to want to restrict movement. These pictures here on the right-hand side are showing you basically what we've seen at other customers, is that even if they are in place and installed correctly, they still fall, they still get entrapped, and they still slide out of that pocket. So in effect, they're not really doing the job that they're designed to do. Additionally, if they're damaged underground, there's no repair method. You have to basically take it out and put a new one in. So that's when we worked with a customer out in Utah to develop a solution for that problem. Basically, the objective of this was to create a product that would bond and seal to the pocket from debris while remaining flexible and preventing pushout to allow the hydraulic lift leg movement during the operation. The result of that project was what we call now Loctite MR5898 flexible polyurethane. What's different about this versus a pre-molded foam insert is that it's actually a cure-in-place, foam-in-place option. Two liquid parts mixed together, and you don't need any special equipment. You can mix it by hand with a stick, or if you want to get really technical with it, a drill mixer with a mixer blade attached to it. Expands about 7 to 10 times from its liquid volume within 5 minutes, and within 15 minutes, it's actually spongy and tack-free to the touch. What's great about the product is that it's going to fill into all the crevices and cavities. It's going to fit to any geometry of any pocket leg. And again, going back to that, there's no special equipment, so it can be done underground relatively easily. What we've told customers in the past is that the pocket needs to be clean and dry. But over the past couple of months, I've actually been doing a lot of testing with the product to see what chemical resistances and environmental resistances it can withstand. And actually, even if it's filled with water, lubrication, greases, oils, any kind of aggregate in there, it'll actually displace it and it will continue to foam exactly as it was designed to do. So there's no integration or issues of contamination that we've seen so far. The recommended process is that obviously we want to tape off any leak paths because it will flow right out of anything. It's a relatively low viscosity, so it flows once you pour it. And some customers have actually indicated that they do not want it to stick. They want to actually be able to just pull it right out whenever they want. And if that's the case, any kind of mold release will prevent it from bonding to the steel sidewalls. What we recommend typically to get the best, most reliable performance out of this product is a 72 degree room temperature cure. However, we have developed it so that it will cure underground at 50 degrees, and it's very reliable at that temperature as well. Anything above that on the higher side, which you probably will never see underground, but maybe more in an OEM environment, is that anything above 100 degrees Fahrenheit, you're going to have inconsistent results because it's going to want to cure a little bit faster, and or what it'll do is when it reaches maximum foam, it might collapse slightly. And then we also want to be mindful, if this is your first time using it, be mindful of how much foam you're going to get. The last thing you want to do is have it spill over like you put the wrong soap in the dishwasher. And we've had that happen plenty of times in the lab. So we always recommend going a little bit conservative on the pour volume and then topping off, and it will bond to itself. This is an example of just how easy it is to just mix the product together. And what we're looking to do is just mix it until it turns to a milky white consistency, and then we want to pour it immediately. If you let that sit in the can after it's mixed, within 5 minutes you're going to have a big mess on your hands. This video illustrates basically how much it foams within that short period of time. This is a sped up video, but the timer on the bottom is showing only about 2 minutes after it was poured. It's going to continue to slowly rise after that 2 minutes, but we say maximum foam volume within five, depending on your conditions. And then again, it starts to skin over after 5 minutes. Within 15 minutes, it's hardened in like a memory foam consistency. And what's great about it is it will bond to itself, so if you ever need to do a repair, cut out a chunk of it, it gets damaged, all you need to do is reapply over the top of it and it will stick to itself and patch. Some customers like to be able to manipulate it a little bit. Before it's actually reached its cure, you can actually do what we call a pushdown technique. And using anything like a cardboard or a plastic with a mold release on top of it, all you need to do is push it down into place and get it to basically hold it there until it stops giving you resistance. What you want to do then is let it cure for about 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, and then you can peel that off and you've got a nice smooth surface where you pushed it down to. If you need to cut it out for any reason, it's relatively easy. All you need to do is use a serrated knife. And again, going back to that, if you want to top it off, or you want to apply more to it, then all you need to do is just apply more and it'll bond to itself. After it's cured, it's about the consistency of a rubbery memory foam. This was poured about 3 years ago, so it contains that exact properties since then. And we've had customers using this for about 3 years now without any issues underground. We've also done flame testing on this product, and it will self-extinguish even after multiple burn tests. This is just a little synopsis of what I've already covered about the product. Again, this was designed so it will not slide out of the pocket, so that bonding to the sidewalls is really what we've looked to achieve out of it, is that when you bond to that pocket, it's not going to want to push out. It's also safe to use because it's a low odor product and it's self-extinguishing, and there's no significant lead time. You can have a bunch of kits underground with you that take up minimal amount of real estate, mix them on site, and pour them underground as well. So again, it's a foam on demand and a cure on demand type of product versus a lead time to order pre-molded parts. This is an example of one of the pockets that was poured that's been in service for 9 months. As you can see, it's just a little dirty, that's it. It didn't pop out of the pocket and it maintained its bond. For this product, we have a whole plethora of information. We have YouTube videos on how to mix and apply it and pour it. We also have technical data, sell sheets, and then if you wanted to work with us, we could actually come on site and give an on-site training. We also have value cost savings calculators to show you the difference of using our product versus pre-molded insert or other conventional methods of cleaning those pockets out. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Did you have to get MSHA approval for that product and submit, you know, for the toxic gases and flame tests and that?
Yeah, thank you. We actually did work with MSHA early in the development of this product, and they indicated that there is actually no restriction on that exact application. So right now there's no regulation on that specific product at all.
For a second question, will that product bond to the other products that are out there being used for leg pocket filling?
So you're talking about pre-molded inserts currently?
Yeah.
We haven't done any testing on that, so that would be something we'd want to look at on a case-by-case basis. But it's very possible if it's a polyurethane base chemistry that it would bond to itself or bond to a pre-molded insert. What we definitely cannot bond to are silicones or things with Teflon or grease or mold release products on them.
How would you approach a rebuild where you had a whole set of shields that had those in it, and then you had to remove it and get all of it out? How would you actually remove all of it?
Yep, that's a great question. If that were the case, we would recommend, if you're going to be doing that on a regular basis, to maybe spray the sidewalls with a mold release, even a wax or a very cheap grease or oil, recycled oil would work very well in that application. Also, it's very easy to cut into it. So if you needed to get just to a certain section, you can cut it out, pull out that section, and then when you're going back into service, you just pour a little bit back in there to fill it up.
What about like welding around it if there's still some left in there?
Yeah, so it is temperature sensitive when you're talking about welding. It may burn up if it was too close to the heat source. But if that's the case, again, just cut it out and you can just patch it again. I'm sorry, I had a hard time hearing you.
What sort of gases does it release when you're burning it?
That's a good question. I don't know if I can answer that at the moment right now. I would have to consult with one of our chemists.
And a bread knife cuts really easy when you need to cut it out.
Thank you.
Any other questions? If Not Adam, we appreciate your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that concludes session 5 and the papers for 2017 Longwall U.S.